Well, I kind of feel guilty being up here because I have five counterparts who are out there in the audience with you, who have spent the last few days with you in fear and prayer and feeling the great weight of responsibility that's been ours, and we still don't feel like we've been able to really accomplish everything we'd hoped to. But hearing your reports on the bus today and around the table tonight, man, it makes me feel like I could do a double backflip, land on my feet. But I'm not going to try it. But tonight we want to give you a chance. Now, I know there's been some of you who've had some thrilling experiences today. Now, we're not just reserving this for those who have had the wonderful joy of reaping, but perhaps those who've had the wonderful joy of just gaining the victory over fear and doing something you never thought you could do. There were some folks that got 9 o'clock bellyache at 1:30. And it's a real common malady around here in SNSE when it comes time for this outreach experience and the exercise. This is a wonderful thing that we experience here. And we go back home, we talk about the high experience that we had at SNSE. And the experience of the fellowship is so grand, the camaraderie and the depth that we begin to feel in our spirits as we're drawn together. We begin to share with one another our burdens, our heartaches, our fears, and our highest aspirations. But sometimes I fear that it's that rally kind of thing that we go back with, and not enough of the equipping that we take back with us. When you go back, don't just seal this thing and etch it and grant it and put it up on your wall. Wasn't that a nice experience? But let's hope that, let's make ourselves a committee of one, each one of us, that we would take back the things that we've learned. And it wouldn't just be a great council meeting and a mountaintop experience. Someone said today, I think it's my brother here, Bob. Just met Bob a couple of days ago. Boy, I've learned to love him. And someone else said, I think it was Valerie said today, this isn't the mountaintop. This is down 6,000 feet, but it's still not the mountaintop. There's still a lot of heights up there above us. And though we would call this a mountaintop experience, let's remember that what we've got here is just the beginning, just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more. And we need to carry it back and build on it and not let it be extinguished and let it wane, but just keep the fires burning. Tonight, I know there's a lot of reports, but before we do that, I like us, and we've sung a lot tonight, but I'd like us to sing another chorus. I've just been thinking about it all afternoon. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need of, thy hands have provided. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's sing it. And get ready. I want you to, don't be waiting. I like you to start making your way up. Some of you have something you want to share. Start making your way up. And on your way, bring your grid sheet. Here's a mic right here that Brother Bob has out. And we just want you to come up, make it as brief as you can, because we had 98 people out going door to door. And we had the other folks that went out doing open air, Charlie Van and the open air group. And boy, if we share, everyone shares tonight, we'll never get out of here. So we really need to move up quickly to the mic. And you can start coming right now. I know a bunch of you have something you want to share. Bring your grid sheet and turn it in. Let's sing that. Give me a key, Bob. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning in thee. All unbelieving plans have provided. Great is thy faithfulness.
Share. I'm sorry, but I'm first. Maybe I get to share mine. All of it, I hope. I'm from Albany, Georgia. My name is Dennis Moore. And I was on the house-to-house. I was team number one. Thank God. I was last to get off the bus. I thank the bus driver, Jim Brock. I think he's sitting right over there. He went with us. My team partner, Nikki DeVault from Pendleton, Oregon. And we went to 16 houses on our street. We contacted 8 people. We prayed with 5 of them.
Beautiful.
We left each one of those 5 the 4 spiritual laws. We got their names and addresses for the local core, I hope.
Yes.
And we saved one to the Lord. Through the Lord.
Yes.
And believe it or not, her son is a navigator right here working for the press. And she told us after... Amen. He was a Skirber. I didn't get his first name. I'm sorry. But she told us after... She accepted the Lord and we prayed with her and we were about to leave. And she said she really needed that today.
Yeah.
And it just blessed our hearts. And thank God that I could come.
My name is Estelle Ridley and I'm with the Compton Corps in Compton, California. And today we were just so blessed to go out on the open air. The people in Colorado Springs were so beautiful to us. We were right in the heart of... the town of Colorado Springs. The people that we talked with, it was a working crowd and sometimes it was a shopping crowd, but they were able to smile and talk to me momentarily and able to feel so good about the Salvation Army. I did witness to 4 people today and prayed with them on the street there. Some of the people are living around the core Colorado Springs Core Community Center. They have children, and I introduced them to the programs that they have with our little brochure here to be sure to take them to some of the programs, and they said that they would. I talked to about 20 people on the corner there. They were all gracious, even though they didn't have time to really take much time with me, but they did talk. Talked to a Mormon lady and her little boy. She said that, "I don't believe in what you have, but I will talk to you," because she expressed a lot of things to me. And just talking to her and for her to share some of the things with me was really great. And the Lord really blessed me today. And I told the people when I went into some of the stores there that I just wish I could stay at Colorado Springs, but the streets are so wide it took me 2 lights to get across. Blessed there today, and I think all of the ones that went had a beautiful time, and God blessed us.
How can you follow something like that? I'm Bob Kelly from the Las Vegas Corps, and I was on Team 46 with Gordon Young from Hawaii. We had, on our side of the street, about 20 homes. Praise the Lord, we didn't get past the first 5.
Amen.
4 of the people were home. Three of them, we were able to share the four spiritual laws all the way through. Several of them were professing salvation, but wanted to hear. And we left the booklets with them. The last home was a little old lady, about 75 years old, who will pass this on to Major Ball, but she's in need of some social service counseling. But her son is within three blocks of the Corps with two children who attend the Corps periodically, and the grandmother is going to talk with them about this. They know the Army, and using the Lord, we prayed before we went into each house. The one thing that struck both Gordon and I when we were sharing the spiritual law with one lady, she said that she'd come to the door from writing a letter to a niece. The niece had just suffered some pretty heavy losses and couldn't understand why the Lord was doing what he was doing or allowing it to happen. Both of the niece's parents had been killed, murdered, and the murderers have just been let out of jail on probation. And the girl couldn't understand it. After sharing this, the woman we were talking with said she would like to send the four spiritual laws to the daughter, or to the niece. And we prayed for this. It was a total blessing on this thing. And what can you say? We planted seeds. Colorado Springs is going to have to harvest. And we just praise the Lord.
Bob French from Binghamton, New York, and Bob Grove from Pennsylvania, way across the country. You told us half the people wouldn't be there. We didn't get past seven houses. We shared the laws four times, and on the fourth person, no, the third time we shared it, we met a young lady who has no church home, was having some problems, and had been searching for an answer. And we knew by the time we got halfway through that we had her, the Lord had her. But he had her. She showed hardly any emotion through everything until we were all through. We took her name and address, and the Lord said, Bob, tell her that the Lord arranges people to meet each other when they most need it. And I just said that to her, and she just burst out in tears. She said, that's what I needed. That's what I needed. She's called the Corps today, as she said she was going to. They don't have a church home other than the two kids go to a Sunday school at Church of God of Prophecy. And periodically.
Tolerance.
And but I think that you have a family of four going to be attending your Corps now. Praise the Lord.
My name is Shirley Hayes, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I need my partner. Come on, partner. I needed you this afternoon. I need you now. We had a wonderful afternoon. It was very fruitful for the Lord, and our contacts were really great. We did go to a couple houses, and we were a little distressed. Nobody entered the door. But with the house that we did go to, one of the houses we went to, the lady came and she told us she was very disinterested. We gave her the four spiritual laws. She was nice enough to take it and slam the door in our face. We didn't give up, right, Butch? Okay. Then we went to a gentleman, an older gentleman, who told me how active he was in the church and he was an elder. And of course, I asked him if he would listen to the four spiritual laws. And we took our survey and he listened very attentively. And then he said, but we are elders of the church. And I smiled and I just said, I'm not offering you a church, I'm offering you Jesus Christ. And he wasn't certain how positive I was because that door stayed open and the wife said, you may as well come in because the flies are coming instead. So she took me out of the flies. So there I stood and I said to Butch, compare me to a fly. Okay, I'm a little shaky. I don't, you know, I'm very shy, so you'll pass. Okay. Then now down to real serious business. Interested, we were. Okay, we went to a young lady. Her name was Ross, and all of a sudden we had a relationship. Because, you see, I've been saying all I've been for the last 20 years is a housewife and in the Corps. What has that got to do with anything? And this young lady said to me, her name was Ross, and I likened it to the company that I was working with. I said, oh, I work for such and such a company. Then she said, and I'm Catholic. I said, you know, I was Catholic until I realized that I wasn't following the right path. And I went into it for a couple of seconds about, you know, was she still following the Catholic religion? And she said, no, I'm Catholic in name. And that was an opportunity there. She should never have done it to me. I have discovered that if you ask the Lord to do something, you better mean it. You really better mean it. Because when Commissioner said the other night, wow, all I could think of was, with our weapon, we can't lose. We can only win. And that's all that's been going through my mind. Just, you know, you talk to people and people say, oh, you know, she looks a little flighty and she's not really, you know. But I came up here with a whole year of thinking, being concerned, and sometimes saying things that probably sounded all confusing because I was confused. I was unsettled. I was unsure. And I have to admit to you that this was not the easiest thing to do because it's so easy to talk to everyone else about everything else. But when it comes to witnessing, we don't want to pinpoint. Forgive me for being so long. I'm really too long. Okay, but we did go to this lady. She's not attending any church. She is Catholic, but that doesn't mean a hill of beans because she's interested. She really is. Pardon my vernacular. And I'm just so excited because she was interested. She had a four-year-old daughter who butchered the good news with, and we told him while I went through the whole four spiritual laws, we did pray, and she did say that she was interested in knowing more about Jesus Christ as the personal Savior, and I'm thrilled because she knows God. She knew all about Him, but she didn't know Jesus Christ. And she said, I do pray every night, but it's kind of a vague thing. I do it out of habit. It's a good habit, but still, it was just not a personal experience. Okay, the next lady, of course, wasn't home. Defeat again? No. We just went on. We didn't cover many houses, but the houses we did cover were fruitful. Okay, there was a lady who we knocked on the door, and she says, well, I don't live here. I says, but you're here now, right? So, sure enough, she says, well, I only work here. I said, are you busy? And she said, come on in. That was it. We got in. We did the four spiritual laws. I'm not going to go into it again, but she, too, is Catholic. Your background can do a lot for you, and your faith does a lot more. And so I went on with the four spiritual laws, and she said she had, you know, she knew a little bit about Jesus Christ. She knew Him as the Savior. And I thought, how could that be a little bit? That's a whole lot. But then she did say that she felt that we had been there for a reason. And I didn't feel it. I knew it. I knew when I left the grounds, because I have to tell the lady that's saying that on my bus trip, I wrote these words, simply trusting every day, in the front of my Bible, and I said, simply trusting, and that we're all of like mind tonight, and that's what we did. The last house was great. The last house was the house we almost didn't go to. Did you ever do something almost and then said, okay, Lord, the day's been in your hands, what are we going to do with the rest of it? Okay, Butch and I pass this door, and he looks at me, and I look at him, and it's 4:10, be at that bus stop at 4:00. Okay, how are we going to do it? We looked and the door was open. Now, none of the other doors were open. I said, okay, we're going to do it. We'll do it. It was 4:10 and I said, Lord, whatever happens, here we go. We went and the young lady of 13 years old opened the door and she said to us, the Salvation Army. And then I introduced myself and she said, I told her where I was from and she said, Brooklyn? People are happy in Brooklyn. And I said, I didn't know why, you know. I said, but I've got something to be happy about. And so Butch talked to the 13-year-old to find that she accepted the Lord last May. So he did the survey on Mother's Day. Okay, and he did the survey with me. And terrific. We had a terrific time just talking. And there was a young lady in the house that didn't think we wanted to talk to her. She kind of just sat to the side. And I looked and I said, okay, Butch, you've got a friend. I just found another one. And here she sat. She was a girl of about 25 years old. Now, I've got to get through this one. Thank you, Lord. Okay, 25 years old and having experienced the knowledge of God's Word. She married a man from Las Vegas, and they lived there a while. He became an alcoholic. He claimed to have been a Jehovah's Witness while they were married, and he became an alcoholic. And she said he killed himself just this 2 months ago. And she said, but the whole time, during this time, she knew that God was with her. She didn't have the reality that she was within his will. And so I asked her if we could just go through the booklet, and she said yes. And we got to the fourth part of it, and it was the prayer. And she said, "I'm sorry, I can't read that." She said, "I'll read it to myself." And she read it to herself. She said, "I can't admit." She said, "I can't do it." She says, "Don't ask me to do it." So with that, I said to her, "I want you to forget that I'm a Salvationist. I want you to forget this is someone representing the Salvation Army," because I said, "I'm not." And we tried to bring that point to everyone that we talked to. We were representing the Lord. And she sat there, and the tears, I'll tell you, it's a feeling that I came up struggling, but I thought of what this poor girl must have been going through, and I thought, we have to work out our own decisions as much as everyone wants to help us. And here she sat, asking and seeking. And I told her we would pray for her with the power of God, but I'd leave the results in God's hands. And if nothing else tonight, I'm grateful because the Lord Jesus Christ gave me the opportunity to contact her and Shadow. Shadow has promised us. Matter of fact, some of our kid is missing. We gave it away. We gave it to Shadow. She's going to take it to high school with her. She's going to share it with her friends because she loves the Lord. But I would ask you to think of Etheline, who has, as I said, lost her previous husband. She's going with a young man who's a heathen now, and she wants to witness for Jesus, but she needs to know him as personal Savior. It's been a thrilling day. I've had a thrilling week, and I'm not a bit excited, am I? But I sincerely say that I needed a new touch in my life, and I realized more and more that my dependency, as I said the other day, I'm saying the children should be, my dependency must be more on knowing what the Word of God says for my life.
I'm Jack Maxson from the Redlands Corps in Southern California, and this is my partner over here. I think she ought to stand up. So everybody, I can't take all this by myself. You were with me. Thank you. But anyway, we went out, and most people were at home, or at least they didn't answer their door. I don't know. But we did reach two, or was able to talk to two. Both were Christians. But what made the day was an elderly man. He must have been, 50? Late 50s. He was a paraplegian. Paraplegian. Anyway, if I might go on, he was a paraplegian in a wheelchair, and he couldn't get out of it. And although we went out to tell people about Christ, he was telling us about the Lord Christ after we had started questioning this man. He's a Nazarene, and he does want very badly for somebody to come and visit, and we promised him somebody would. And we was able to pray with this man. It was just beautiful. And he started crying when we started to leave. In fact, he didn't want me to get up off my knees. And this, it just breaks my heart, because back in California, we go to the elderly's homes every other Sunday. And this happens there. And it's just, I can't even put it in words. So, you're going to have three more in Sunday school. Because on our way back, we were stopped by a lady who had three kids, and she wanted to know if they could be picked up on Sunday morning.
I am so happy today because I've done something that I've always wanted to do, to go out into the streets, into the highways and the byways, like a real disciple, two by two, and express the love of God and show the love of God to men and women. I feel that we were very fortunate because God has, there's a chorus, you know, God can do anything but fail. And we proved that today. My teammate, I don't know where he is, Wesley Moore. He's over here. Wesley Moore. We went and we went to four houses. That's all the time we had. And out of the four houses, we talked with three. One lady, the first lady, in fact, had just lost her father, and she was on her way out. And but the three that we contacted, one was a woman, a young, very young girl, with three babies, all under 4 years old. And in the parlor, we could not find or see by just glancing, nothing in our house except a divan and a radio and a little table. Of course, I guess the bed, the baby, she had two small babies. And when I approached and talked with her, she was very sincere in listening. And she suggested, and she wanted the Salvation Army to come and visit her. She didn't make a decision, but we prayed with her. And we left the materials with her. The first fellow that we went to was just a young man, and I spoke with him personally. And he, at first, wasn't interested. He didn't seem to really be interested. But as I talked to him, he listened. But when it came to the prayer, he didn't want to say the prayer. He didn't want to, after I read the sample, the suggested prayer. But he did let me pray with him also. But the third one was a wonderful spirit-led, and he received Christ as his Savior. Just a young man. And when I talked with him, and he knew, he understood. Neither one of these three people were church, by the way. Not one of them had a home church. But this young man, a wife and a baby, he was so interested that his wife came and blew the horn for him to come out to take him somewhere. And he refused, and he told me he'd be right back. And he ran out and come right back. And we prayed with him and gave him the material. And I said to him, "Do you receive Christ?" And he said, "Oh, yes." Now, my teammate, I'd have known this, I probably wouldn't have said any more. And yes, I know I would, because I'm kind of bold. And he told me later he saw a pot of marijuana. I didn't even know what it would look like. I wouldn't know if I fell over. But I said to myself, hallelujah, because I told him what a wonderful chance he had as a young man to tell other young men that were all mixed up in life over alcohol and drugs. And when we left, my teammate told me, "I should be a preacher." And I said to him, "Why?" He said, "Because you got a big mouth." I took it, I didn't know whether to take it as a compliment or an insult, but praise the Lord, I'm happy because we won a soul for Christ.
First of all, my name is Kevin Johnson. I'm from Madison. I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, and I had the privilege of having Valerie Payton. Will she stand, please? I had the privilege of having her for a partner, and the first situation was a trial and error type of thing, I believe. We just got started with one girl. After the doors, no one was home. And another friend came along. And then come to find out, a couple minutes later, another one came. So Valerie did that. And we discussed afterwards. And then we went to the next house. And there was a man there who was a Catholic, and he's faithful to his church. He went through the survey in the spiritual laws and rededicated his life to Christ. And on our way back out towards where the bus was supposed to be, we were able to give him, I think, what was it, six tracts? We gave him six or seven of them because he wanted to take them to the nursing home and to his sister's house and tell them about it. He was so happy. And then we met another lady who also accepted Christ, and she, you talk about being new to this area, everybody we met was new. The three girls were from Germany and so on. They just got out of the army and they were looking for jobs, and the man, I think, was the only one from this area. If you know anything about the way I participated in class, you know that I was confused. You know that I didn't really comprehend what he was saying, but that's because I hadn't used this in a long time. It was a totally different way that I had to minister to people. But I'm thankful for it because now I can use it as a step further and get closer relationships built. And I'm glad for the opportunity.
Okay, we're going to have to try to abbreviate this, so just keep it down to the most important contacts. All of them are important, you know, but the meaty ones that you are most excited about. We don't need a blow-by-blow account, you know, but those things are worth remembering and worth storing, but we don't have a whole lot of time tonight, and we need to try to get on and give everybody a chance to share. I tell you, let's sing a chorus. Would you like to do that? Let's all stand. Let's encourage these folks to stand with them. They want to know if they can sit down. All right. Let's sing the chorus, "I'm happy today, so happy today, for Jesus has washed my sins all away. He wrote my name down for palace and crown, and that's why I'm happy today." Let's sing it. You don't know that? Come on. "I'm happy today, so happy today, for Jesus has washed my sins all away. He wrote my name down for palace and crown, and that's why I'm happy today." Are you happy? Sing it again. "I'm happy today, so happy today, for Jesus has washed my sins all away. He wrote my name down for palace and crown, and that's why I'm happy today." Bless God. You have a seat.
Okay, my name is Margaret Stallings, and this is Vinny. My name is Margaret Stallings, and this is Vinny Lee Moore, and we are both from North Carolina. She's from Goldsboro, and I'm from Durham. We went out with a great exuberance. The first five houses we went to, no one was home. The next house we went to, there was a lady come to the door, and as we began to talk to her, she let us know very quickly that she was Catholic and that she was not interested, but we did manage to give her a little book, The Four Laws. So then we go to three more houses, nobody at home. So we came to the conclusion, so the next house we went to, the lady was there, and she talked to us for just a few moments and then told us she really wasn't interested. But she did tell us that ours was a working neighborhood. We continued to proceed around the neighborhood, and had just about given up, and we were going out the door, and these two beautiful teenage girls came in. We had the pleasure of going over the survey, and we gave her a book of the Holy Spirit and talked to her, and it was really a thrilling experience, and so we were real happy. So we didn't find anybody else at home, and the Lord saved us from an encounter with a great big German shepherd, but we thoroughly enjoyed it.
My name is Tammy Brown, and I'm from Inslee, Alabama. I had a great experience today. There were several people that I came in contact with. Well, at first I had a witness to give at the open air. And just a few minutes after I gave it, I didn't know if I should go on or stay there until they finished, but I couldn't wait, so I went on. And I was walking down the streets, and I really didn't know how to approach the people, because in the class we learned that we had the survey. And I didn't know how to go about doing it, so I just said, "Lord, it's up to you." And I had butterflies, and I couldn't believe we had to eat before we left, because it just made your stomach that much worse. So, okay, now I go out on the street. I have no idea who I'm going to talk to first, but I go up to several of them, and I tell them I'm from the Salvation Army, and ask them if they have a few minutes I could share the four spiritual laws with them. And there were several of them that said they were in a rush and they didn't have time, so I left the four spiritual laws with them, and I just told them to have a good day. And that maybe perhaps I came in contact with several that were Christians and told them that they could use it to share with other people. But there was one lady who was Presbyterian, and she said that she had so much literature she'd probably lose it or something, so she didn't bother to take it. But I came in contact with this man, and it was so real that I should talk to this man. And he was real fine dressed. He was in a nice suit, gray suit, I remember, because I kept looking for him afterwards. I talked to him. I asked him if he had a few moments that I could talked to him for the four spiritual laws. And he said yes, and he was so interested. And we were out in the sun, so I asked him if we could go over to the shade, or I have no idea what store it was, but it was under shelter so we wouldn't be hot in the sun. And I started talking to him and sharing the four spiritual laws. And he, all the whole time, he just seemed so interested in it. I didn't think to ask him if he was going to church or anything. So after he accepts Christ, And after he accepts Christ, he tells me he's a Roman Catholic. And I remember going through the second law telling that you can't go through the works to get to God, through your efforts and your education. And after he told me he was Roman Catholic, I didn't know how to react to it because I never come in contact with a Roman Catholic. I didn't know if I should go, you know, that's bad or that's good. So when he told me, I just said, well, that's great. You're in a church. And I said, well, you know, before we left, before we prayed, I said that, here, just share these four spiritual laws with someone. Now that you accept Christ, you can show others. And, of course, I went through, you know, the growing process as a Christian. And so I just told him it was great. And then I was so afraid that maybe, I was afraid someone would just be putting me on, you know, and accepting Christ. And I thought about that afterwards. I knew that was the devil working on me because I knew that man accepted Christ. You could tell, you could see it through him. And I kept thinking, and it came to me that after him telling me he was a Roman Catholic, and me telling him that you can't get through the works of God, you know, through your own efforts and works, because, you know, they believe that's how you get to heaven. And it made it more real to me that he really did accept Christ. And he knows now that he has a Savior that bridges that gulf between man and God. So that was the greatest experience. Of course, I had other ones, but that was the greatest I had.
Norris McCollum from Meridian, Mississippi, and my partner was Major Farmer from Greenwood, Mississippi, by way of Tampa, Florida. So we sort of got together so people could interpret us, or we can interpret each other being from the South. So 15 years ago, share this with you, the first part, the law one. 15 years ago, I memorized this thing, and it says, offers a wonderful plan for your life. Today was not planned for my life. I didn't do a thing with this thing for 15 years. But this was the first day that I picked it up and used it for God. So, that's the four spiritual laws. The last one we talked to today was a navigator. A young lady, very attractive. I could have stayed there all day talking to her. So, the thing about her, though, she says, I'm a Christian, but one thing she was lacking was the Spirit-filled life. She says, my friends are non-Christians. I go to bars. I go to a bar where my brother plays the guitar. I may drink some beer or wine. And I don't feel that's messing up my Christian life because I read God's Word. I tell people about Jesus Christ. She has no church home. We left the material about the Salvation Army, and so she could find the church home. She said she could never find the fellowship there with the people in the church because they don't do the same activities as she does. But she's missing the Spirit-filled life, and we left it with her today. So pray for her, because her husband was a navigator for 8 years, worked with him for 8 years, and she worked with him about 2 or 3 years. But she is missing that Spirit-filled life.
I love people. Most of you probably have been able to tell that. I haven't always loved myself. And this morning I climbed the hill over here and I prayed. And I said, please show me what my purpose is in life. And within an hour, he did. And I don't need to go into what my purpose is going to be. That's something between my God and myself. And I hope you'll be able to see it as days go on. But today when we went out, I fell in love with a man that was born in 1903 named Melvin. And we had stopped at several doors and no one was home or people were Christians. And I thought, oh, this is one day that's going down the tubes. But it didn't. And Melvin was mowing the yard with a cowboy hat on. And he didn't turn the lawnmower off while we talked to him. 25 minutes. And I said to him halfway down the line,
sir, wouldn't you like to turn the lawnmower off? He says, no, gas is cheaper nowadays. Yeah. So you see why I fell in love with Melvin. He seemed hard of hearing, but it turned out he really wasn't. It was just the lawnmower. Poor guy, he never heard any of it. He was standing as close as he could, but, you know, he would have had to hang down. And we sat on chairs with this little man. Well, he let me read through the whole book and go through the survey, and he had taken the Lord many, many years ago, but I don't believe, even right now, that he's really chosen him to be in his heart. But we got to the part of the prayer, and I said, you know, I'll read through this prayer, and if it's something that you could say with me, I would really want you to do it, and it will make a difference for you. He said, no. And I said, well, read the prayer. He said, no. But he did read the prayer to himself. And then he said, no. And I said, but why? And he says, well, I have no memory. I can't remember things from day to day. I said, well, we could pray that the Lord would give you memory. You know, I felt very helpless. But I do believe the seed was planted and planted deeply. And I do love that man. He reminds me of many things, but he reminds me of my grandfather, Colonel Morrison, who was from Scotland, and he was no more than 5'2" himself, which this man was. And I loved hugging him when we left. And he gave me a dollar that he wouldn't keep. My husband's dying over here. But that little man, you know, I said to him, do you have Jesus in your heart? And he said, I'm the circle that has self on the throne. And this was at the end. I said, well, don't you want Jesus on the throne? He said, yes, and I try. But he said, I'm not ready to give it up. At that age, you pray for that man. His days are not long here. Yeah. And I want him saved. And you go see Melvin.
Yes.
Do you have something?
Yes. I just have one real quick thing to say. My partner really backed me up today. This is a little funny. We went to this one house, and we noticed that there was a dog in the yard in the next house. Well, I thought, good, the dog's in the yard. The dog was snarling and growling. I thought, oh, gee. So, well, we made it to the next house, and just as we were getting to the front door, we heard, rah, 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 boom, the front door opens, and another dog comes out. I thought I was going to die. I went, I tell you. And when I turned around to find my partner, she had gone around the corner. Well, let me tell you this. I knew at that point the Lord was with me because that dog didn't get me. Even though we didn't have anybody except Christ, I wanted Major Dahl. This is a Dahl. Yes, my teacher, Major Dahl. Yes. I don't know who I was talking to. Why are you confusing people? Gee. Success in witnessing is simply sharing Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. And that's exactly what we've done today.
Hi, my name is Scott Ganyard. I'm from Akron, and my partner was James May from Cleveland. And today has really been a glorious day, because today we both felt like we could actually, we did something for the Lord, because he has done so much for us. And we stopped at 12 houses on the block, and it was 4 o'clock, so we had to move up to where the bus was, and there was 4 houses we had to leave out. But 4 of those were not home, and one lady just flatly said, I don't have the time, close the door. And we didn't really have that much trouble. In fact, 4 people that we talked to were Christians, but it was just that their faith had like backslidden. So all we could do, we just talked to them and, you know, tried to explain to them how important fellowship was. And we also found out that these people hadn't attended church in a long time. And so all we did was talk to them and pray with each one of them. But the highlight of the evening, or the day, that really made this whole weekend worth it was that we got one lady to accept Christ. And it's really strange. It was like, just like the classroom, I read through everything, and she said, yeah, you know. I mean, it seemed like it was too easy, but I found out later, James was telling me as he was standing there, you know, watching and praying for me, that this lady was just about ready to break out in tears, and I didn't realize it, you know, because I was reading my book. And I was really touched by it because this lady, she hadn't heard about Jesus before, and it was just a blessing for me.
It's not the messenger, it's the message, right?
Can you lower this thing? I'm not that tall.
Okay.
Well, today I was nervous. I had never in my life been to door-to-door evangelism. I've been outside, you know, outdoor evangelism, and house-to-house visiting for the Home League, but that was different. It was in my hometown, you know. And I just really had to pray about that, because I was even trying to chicken out at the last minute, saying, well, I'd be glad to stay here if I could. But, you know, I went with the grace of the Lord. And my partner and I, we talked to two guys. Well, one guy and one woman. He talked to the man. And I tried to help him because, well, my partner's got a kind of a soft voice and my mouth is big. So I hollered what I could at him and tried to get the point across. And my partner read the four spiritual laws. And being a strict Lutheran, he thinks that he's saved by having communion. And it's wrong, but that's the way the doctrines go. And he was talking Lutheranian. We didn't know what he was saying. But he had just gotten out of the hospital from a gallbladder surgery. And we were able to pray with him and talk with him. And we were really blessed with him. And then I came to a home that we didn't dare go near. There was a Doberman Pinscher. He said no enter, so we didn't. But there was one house that I went to with a young lady with two small children. And she was open to the four spiritual laws. She wasn't quite ready for the prayer to read for herself. But I read it to her, and I gave it to her. And we talked with her, and I told her, when you get a chance, when you feel you really want to accept Christ in your life, then it's here for you to read. And with my partner and his good sense of direction, we didn't get lost. But I'm really glad that I really went. And in Ephesians 3:13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do for his good pleasure." And I thank God because I stand on his word a lot and a lot of his promises. And it's really been a blessing. My partner has some things.
Well, I'm Luanna North, and I'm from Baltimore Hamden. And my partner was John Allison from state of Washington. Stand up, John. Okay, we had a very adventurous day. It was really something. We went into a senior citizens complex. And when we found out we were going to senior citizens, we were really excited because we both like older people. We really relate well. And so, because John and I talked about that. And so when we got in there, we looked around and we kind of looking around for the lowest number of the apartments because they all started at 100-something. And so we were on the ground floor. And we got to this door, and we knocked on the door. We had to knock real loud so they could hear us, because we knocked a little bit, and nobody heard us. And we went boom, 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 and then they finally come to the door. And so a lady opened the door, and her name was Eunice. Well, Eunice, she was just really sweet. She was eating cantaloupe and having lunch, and she just come back from the beauty parlor. And so I did the survey with her. I was up first, And so I was a nervous wreck, but I said, well, we go right on in there and do it. And so I did the survey, and she was a Christian. She was Baptist Christian, and she was a lovely lady, and she had a lovely spirit. And so I said, could I read these four spiritual laws? And she said, yeah, I'm familiar with it, but you go ahead. And I said, great. And I said, I need somebody to practice. And she said, practice them. So she was so nice. She was just really, she was really a nice-spirited lady. And so I did the four spiritual laws. Well, in the meantime, her husband, Bill, come in, and he's yelling, there's a fire! There's a fire! And there's smoke pouring around us. And so I'm going through these four spiritual laws, and I look up. John's not there. You know, he's just not there. He's gone. And so he's going and taking care of the fire while I'm talking to the slave. And so when he came back, he's all full of smoke and all. And I had gone through the whole spiritual laws. Me and Eunice sat there calmly. We had all the laws. And she's just a lovely lady. And I shared the spirit-filled little booklet with her, and we talked about that. And the fire department came, took care of everything. She was really nice. And what was so very nice is I gave her a lesson on person-to-person evangelism. And that's what was really nice, because she wanted to start a Bible class in that complex, and she didn't know how to go about it. And so I shared these laws, and I said, look how easy it is for me to do it, you know. And I knew she could do it herself, too. And so she wanted to start a Bible class, and she wanted to be filled with the Spirit a little bit more, and we prayed about that, and we went to three other apartments, two other ladies. They were beautiful ladies with beautiful spirits. And one little man, we got him up from being asleep. And he didn't want to talk to us. But we were so filled, and so it was just really nice. And they gave us a blessing.
My name is Cynthia Lawrence, and I'm from Middletown, Connecticut Corps. And my partner was Martha Bird. Stand up, Martha. From North Carolina? Okay. We started off on the good foot. We started off the first two houses, or three houses. There were people there. The first house, there was a Christian girl, and she kind of got us in the spirit of, you know, she was a great, and it just made us feel like the Lord was with us. The second house we went to, there's two little children outside, and as we're coming in, one of them saying, oh, my father's in the house, and the other one saying, as she's coming out the door, Daddy's not here. Daddy's not here. And so we knew that the father probably was inside. So we asked if we could sit and talk with them. There was a little bench outside the door, and we shared with them for a while. And I think they said they were going to the core here. Then I think the third house, there was a woman who really touched us. About 8 weeks ago, she started going to some church that wasn't centered on Christ. Christ wasn't even really involved in the church. And we were able to share with her, and I witnessed to her, and Martha prayed for her, and Martha went through the four spiritual laws. And I really feel that we were led to this woman. When it came to the two circles in the book, neither one applied to her life. You could sense that restless feeling in her. And I just know that the Spirit will touch her, and I pray that she'll come to Christ. She was very sweet. She let us sit down. We were there for quite a while, and it was beautiful for us. The next few houses, there were no people home. There was one man sitting on the steps chewing tobacco. We were ready to go through the gate. He said, keep on going, keep on going, spitting his tobacco out. But then we went right around the block. There was a lot of dogs. home, but there's no people home. We came to the last house, and I said, gee, we're not doing too good, are we? But the last house, there was a young man there. We came up to the door, and he said, I was just having a discussion in here with my sister about, you know, religion. And I said, well, she can come out, too, and witness. And he said that he was familiar with the tract. He had them. He has read it over. He was a Christian. He went through the survey with us. And he said that he doesn't have a church that he's going to right now, that he's friends with two lieutenants in one of the corps in Colorado. I don't know if he was, I think he was new there. And I just have a feeling that we were led to him too, and that, you know, we left him. We said, Martha says, we got to leave you with something. So we left him with the Salvation Army schedule, and I don't know, I have a strong feeling that you'll be hearing from him. It's a young man. And that was it. Then we had a hard time finding the bus, but we got back here.
My name's Phyllis Fisher, and I'm from Minneapolis Central. I went with Joy Langford today. We had a very, I would say, spirit-filled time. Our house that we had went to, Joy and I had worked out our own little system. I knocked on the door, introduced her. She did the survey, and then I followed with the track. The girl was very receptive to it. We went in. I went through the four spiritual laws with her. We got to the circle. She says, when I asked her which was her life, she says, my life is a life that's self-directed. She says, I've been raised as a Nazarene. My mother took us girls to church. My mother has been working with me and been dealing with me that I need to take the children to church and that I need to get my life right. And it was funny that we sat there and we kept going on. And she went through the prayer and then we prayed with her. And then she prayed, and during this discussion before the prayer, she said something that really just astounded me, because I'd heard it all day here and through the week, that God was planting the seeds and that we would probably reap the harvest. And this girl has been dealt with since a child. Her mother has been working. But we were there today because all night long, God had been dealing with her. She said, I had not been able to sleep because I know I have to get my life right. Or if the time comes for the rapture, I'm going to be left here and I don't want to be. And as I got out of the house, I think Joy and I really felt that we had been with God there, bringing that girl to Christ. And when we went back to the bus, all I could say was, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
My name is Rodney Fetch. Is that close enough? Debbie Stites is my partner. I got a bad memory. I can't remember what I was going to say. I'll have to stand here for a second and scratch my head. It's a habit my father taught me. We talked to a bunch of people. There's only one that stands out, and she was a lady truck driver. And she apparently had a stroke. We don't know, but she could barely talk when you had to get right next to her. But I don't feel she accepted Christ, but I feel she came so close. And she was really interested in the Corps, and she's supposed to get in touch with you, or one of you supposed to get in touch with her one. But that's the only really one. But there's one other report I want to give you, and he should be up here telling you instead of me, but he's a chicken. I guess he's a chicken or ain't here. But Steve Dick won somebody today, and he's sitting back here. And I really think that's great because Steve won somebody today.
I'm Joan Marie Ross from St. Paul Citadel, and this is Rob Patterson from Torrance, California. And we really had an interesting experience this afternoon. The first house we went to was abandoned. We could tell because there was about 3 months worth of newspapers in the lawn, and the grass was about this deep. But we knocked on the door anyway. We thought, you know, might as well try. But there wasn't anybody there. So finally, when we found someone home, it was a woman who was 71 years old, and she had a big sign on the gate that says, beware of dog. And I convinced Rob that it was okay to go in because the yard was totally enclosed and there was no dog in the yard.
Took some convincing.
It did. But we went up to the door and knocked on the door, and these three little dogs were barking for all they were worth, came up to the door. And so she came out, and we introduced ourselves and told her what we were doing. And she came out, and she said, well, you know, fine. She'd talk with us. And she asked us if we wanted to come in, and she said, you know, that'd be fine, but that the dogs would bark the whole time we were there. So we decided we'd sit on the porch with her. So we sat on the porch, and Rob did the survey with her, and then I started the four spiritual laws. And when I came to the page with the circles, she said, well, she felt that the Christ-centered life was her life. And so we talked about that, and we found out that she hasn't been going to church for quite a long time. And she just seemed like a very, very lonely, isolated woman. She had a lot of pets, and that seemed to be about it. She can't read the Bible because she has cataracts, and it's very difficult for her to read. And I told her that there are large print Bibles available. And so I told her that maybe the Corps might have one. I don't know if you do, but I know you can get them. And we talked with her. We talked with her for about a half an hour because we both sensed that she was very, very lonely, and she probably hadn't had much human contact in the past few weeks even, I don't know how long, because she just didn't want us to go. And every time we kind of would bring our visit to a close, she'd think of something else to talk about her. And so we spent quite a bit of time with her, and we prayed with her, and I feel like she already has Christ in her life, but she's... Right now, she's at the point where she's lonely. She doesn't have anyone. And it's just like, I guess I would call it backslidden, but to me, she just seemed so isolated that it was like everything that she had been taught or everything that she ever knew in her heart had kind of gone the way of her family and everything else that had left. And I feel like even though we didn't win a soul this afternoon, spending over half an hour with this woman was the best ministry we could have had this afternoon. The rest of the time, all we encountered was people not home, and then a huge German Shepherd. And the German Shepherd was loose, and he was very mean and nasty looking, and he followed us for the rest of the block. And nobody was home the rest of the block, but the dog followed us the rest of the block. But I just praise God that we were there this afternoon to share with this woman, because I feel that God sent us there just to spend time with her so that she knew. Even if she knew in her heart, she knew today, because we told her that God loved her and that we loved her. And I think that that's the really important part.
I have a victory to proclaim too, and that's being the timid soul that I am not. I have never had a logical explanation to explain why I have not been comfortable with sharing Christ with anyone. And during this week, and particularly today, for the first time, I felt freedom in Christ to do just that. And that has been a big change for me.
Amen. Hi, I'm Tom Fanton from Wellsville, New York. I had the privilege of having Dolores Albert as my partner today from Big Springs, Texas. You know, I knew the minute I got up this morning and saw that sun shining off on those gorgeous rocks out there, today was going to be special. And in between classes, I saw an eagle flying up over the valley. My spirits just kind of soared up there with it. You know, it was really nice. Well, by the time I got off the bus, I was just so excited. I almost ran up to the first house to knock on the door and tell people and share things with them. I'd like to say that somebody that we shared four spiritual laws with today accepted Christ, but I can't. In fact, out of the 13 places we went to, only one lady did we get to share the spiritual laws with. Now, maybe Satan thinks he's got us defeated, but I've got news for him. Like Paul, we planted some seeds out there today. And like Apollos, there's somebody that's going to water them. And someday, that fruit's going to be harvested. And I just say, praise the Lord.
I'm Janice Carroll from York, Pennsylvania, and my partner today was Mary. Mary, where are you? There she is. We had quite a successful day. We visit seven houses, three people were home. The very first person we found at home, she accepted Christ as a personal Savior. She has two children. She would like them to be involved in the Salvation Army. And she does not have a church home of her own. We shared Christ with another woman who has a church of her own. She has a foster home. 6 teenage kids, has no affiliation with church at all. There is a field wide open for you, Salvation Army. Thank you.
My name is Sheila Buist, and I'm from the National Capital in Washington, D.C. My partner was Jim Guyton from Detroit, Michigan. The Lord sent Jim to me. I'm a new Christian. I'm a new Salvationist. That wasn't easy for me today. But I read in Ezekiel, if the watchman doesn't blow the horn, you're going to be responsible. I became a watchman today, folks. I blew my horn. Amen. With the help of Mr. Guyton, who knew that you must rattle gates to find out if the dog will come around the corner. No, Sheila, the door opens that way. You put your foot on it this way. If there's a dog, it'll come right through. You see, we were more prepared for our home territories than we were for Colorado Springs. When you went to the front door and nobody was there and the doors were open, we said, what's going on, a robbery? But that happens here, apparently. We shared the four spiritual laws with five people. Four people prayed the prayer with us. I do believe we've won some souls for Christ. And Jimmy, when we get to heaven, they're going to be those jewels in our crown. The very last person we witnessed to, we were on our way back to the bus, and Jimmy noticed a newspaper on the street in front of an auto parts shop. We took it in to deliver the newspaper, literally. And young Steve, the parts man, came to the desk and read through the book with us and read the prayer silently. And he took all the literature about the Salvation Army, especially when I said, and they'll teach you to play a horn. But God has blessed me today with Jimmy, with all of you, and with those souls.
Mark Miller from Omaha Citadel. My partner was Lieutenant Bob Dixon. I don't know where he's from yet, but... Ours was rather short. We didn't even get through half of the block, let alone anything else. The first house we went to, the man was in an extreme hurry, so that took care of that. The next, two houses we went to, nobody home. The next one we went to, the guy just slammed the door in my face, said, no, we don't want any. No, wait a minute, that's not right. No, the first house we went to, the man said, no way. The second house we went to was Grace. She's beautiful, spirit-filled Christian. We got to share with her and pray with her. So that's a glory point there. And we had the houses with nobody home. The guy that said, eh. We had a couple we stopped with. He is a retired United Methodist minister. And we still shared the four spiritual laws with him. And he said that it was an extremely well put together booklet. They had some problems, so we were able to pray with them. And the last house we went to, I got to tell you, Major Dahl, the Lord does answer prayer. He's put a burden on my heart for this young woman. Her name is Bernice. She seemed to me like she had a real hate for the Lord. The lieutenant was doing the presentation. I was doing most of the praying because it really took it. I don't know exactly how long we were there, but I know we were overtime by the time we got out of the house. But she really was trying to refuse God. And from what I could gather, the lieutenant was doing his best with God's help. And she just didn't want to accept. She knew that what he was saying was true. The prayer meant everything. She wanted to be in that spirit-filled and with Christ-centered life. She said, I would like to be there. But she wouldn't accept him. So what I would like for everyone to do, when you think about it, is to be in prayer for her, because I know I am. We've planted the seed. The Lord will have his way. And I just thank God for this experience, because it's been a growing time for me.
I'm Philip Lawrence from the Middletown Corps of Middletown, Connecticut, and my partner was Shirley Evans from
Pocosin, Virginia.
Well, we went to six homes and spoke to three individuals. One was a Catholic woman. She listened to us and agreed with everything we had to say, and we left with the four spiritual laws, and it's a little tough for me. I'm not used to this. So we did speak to a woman, a Mrs. Potter, on 740 East Hills Road. Now, this woman needs help, a lot of help. We spoke with her for almost a half an hour, gave her the four spiritual laws. We gave her a testimony, each one of us, and we thought we almost had her twice. And we tried to get her to pray with us. She wouldn't pray with us. And she did manage to tell us that she did go to the Army when she was a little girl. And the woman is just lost. She needs help. And she's living in a shambles of a home.
One thing, though, she didn't close the door. Both of us asked her, would she like for someone to come and see her? And that made me feel a little bit better. This lady is a very sick woman, physically sick. And I felt in my own heart that she was trying to tell us that she needed help, but she didn't want to accept it. And I let her know, between both of us, that she wasn't alone and that we'd be continue praying for her and that someone would be coming to visit her. And I would like for each one of you tonight to remember this lady. This lady is about in her, I'd say, early 70s. And remember her in your prayers tonight, because she really needs our prayers. And she's really a lovable person. And I really felt that even though she didn't receive Christ, I feel like in my own heart the seed was planted. And we left her with the books and a booklet telling about the Army. And I feel like God's going to work on her.
My name is Tom Heinzman. I'm from Beaver Falls. And my partner, I'd like her to stand back here, was Margie Tabone from Hawaii. I'll tell you a little bit about this pair as we went out today. I'm a little bit backwards. I have a hard time speaking to people about anything, let alone about spiritual matters. And as we were going to Colorado Springs, Marjorie shared with me that the last time she was out visiting person to person, somebody slammed the door in her face, and she was able to make it to her car. But finally, when she got to her car, she spent about a half hour bawling and getting it out of her system. So it was really a team that was put together here at the last moment to go out together to visit. We have nothing really great to report about what we were able to do for God. But I want to tell you today what the Lord did for us. We had gone to a couple of homes. The area we went to, I believe like five or six, there was nobody home. One person was not interested at all. She let us do the survey, but she didn't want anything to do with the four spiritual laws. Another would take the four spiritual laws, but she wouldn't let us share it with her. But the other person we talked with, and Margie did this one, was a Jehovah Witness. And she's about 30 years old, very active in the movement of the Jehovah Witnesses. She was very kind to us, though. She realized we were both scared to death. And she let Margie share or do the survey and share the four spiritual laws with her. And we were able to share a little bit with each other what we believed, and she was able to share with us a little bit about what they believe. And I think two good things come out of this whole deal. One for Margie was that Margie realized that she doesn't have to be afraid, that the Lord's going to be with her, that she can witness to those strangers and those people. And I just want to share one thing with you that the Jehovah Witness shared with us. 5 years ago, when she joined the Jehovah Witness movement, she too had to go out and learn to visit. And her first partner, get this, will you, was deaf and dumb. Could you imagine going out to witness with a partner who was deaf and dumb? But she shared with us that he had a paper. But he had a paper all made up, and this person was so interested in what he believes that he had this presentation made up, and he would go out and he'd knock on the door and he'd hand this to the person, and it kind of brought me back a little bit. The Lord has given me a tongue with which I can speak and ears with which I can hear, and I'm a little bit afraid to do what he wants me to do. And I think that God's saying to me, hey, you know, you've got all this. Use it. I thank the Lord for the experience today.
I'm Jeanette Clark. I can't talk in front of people. From Reno. And my partner was Caroline Moore, and we had one real contact. And I shared the book of Filling of the Holy Spirit, and I believe we really touched this lady's heart, and we prayed with her and shared with her, and we believe there'll be a change in her heart, and my partner and I are going to write to her after we leave.
I'm Wanda McDowell from Waterloo, Iowa. My partner Ted Morris from Dallas and I only got to five houses because the last one we got to was so neat, and we had such a good time with the lady, and she was asking so many questions. We were wondering if we couldn't just call on some real expert on the Bible because she really had a lot of questions. But we did get through the booklet, and we did pray together, and she certainly gave us every indication that she's really planning to start a new life with the Lord.
I'm Diane Trimmer from Salt Lake City. And today I went out with the Child Evangelism Group, and we did a children's open air. And after we finished our open air, I guess I had the privilege of talking with the neighborhood bully. She listened very closely and very attentively to what I had to say. And I went through the little book, Good News, and I gave her the little glove with the five fingers on it. But she wasn't ready to accept the Lord. She wanted Jesus in her life, and she wanted a spirit-filled life, but she just wasn't ready to give up being the bully. And I think this young lady needs a lot of prayer. Her name is Tracy. And God really worked with me because I'm scared to death to talk to people. But he gave me the strength to talk to this young lady and to try and help her through this. And I just want all of you to pray for her because she's really questioning and she's really searching and looking, but she's just not ready to give her life to the Lord yet.
I'm Leslie Larnino, and I'm from Carnegie, Pennsylvania Corps. My partner today was Alice Spencer from Cincinnati Citadel. And I owe a lot to my teacher, Captain, because if it wasn't for his witness through the week, when we got there and our group leader said, go ahead and go out two by two, I probably would have been hiding behind that big rock. But Alice looked at me and I said, let's go. So we went down the street. And we were in a housing project. And one of the very interesting things that happened was we walked up to a door, and Alice shoved the papers in my hand and said, try it now. So we rang the bell, and I stepped down on the step. And she said, you don't have to step that far away. And I said, but Captain said, step back from the door. She said, I think you're a little too far back. I moved up to the door and a young woman came, and we started to tell her why we were in the area and who we were and what we were doing. And just as we were explaining to her, we heard a baby start to cry. And Alice said to her, we've awakened your child, haven't we? And she said, yes, I just put her down for a nap. Well, we started to apologize and we felt so bad, but she was really sweet with us. And so we told her to come along anyways, but we were sorry that we rang the bell and woke up her baby. So we decided, well, we got to go to the next house. And right beside her was this house, and the door was open and had this big sign on it that said, this is it. And and Alice peeked around the corner. And we didn't see anybody, so we went the other way. We knocked on this door, and a fella came out of the door that said, this is it. And he said, nobody's home down there. So Alice said, okay, we'll come down and talk to you. So we went down, and we talked to the man, and we shared with him a little bit. And we went on our way. The next house we came to, the door was open. And Alice rang the bell, and this voice said, come in. She looked at me and grabbed my arm, and we went flying through the door, landed in the living room of this house. And they were very nice. We were very glad that everybody that we visited today was very receptive. And we went to the open air, and the children started to come as we were waiting for school to get out and everything. They did come. And the only thing that I would say is that our teacher, Mrs. Broxick, did a very good job, except there was one thing we ran into that really made me feel bad because I didn't know how to handle it. And we had a little boy who was deaf. And it was very hard because they didn't even want to bring him. His sister said, oh, you don't need to talk to him. He's deaf. He can't hear you. But he did clap his hands. And he kept going around to the other children and putting his hands on their face to feel what they were saying. But we didn't know how to help him. We didn't know how to communicate with him. And if there's anything that we could maybe do is to try and help us learn what to do, because my heart just went out to that little boy. But we had a very good experience, and I was the one that gave the invitation in our open air. And as those little hands started to go up, I just couldn't believe it. I was so scared that nobody was going to raise their hand, and I wasn't going to know what to do next. That when I started to see those hands go up, we just started to sing the chorus, God is so good. And I think that's really what our afternoon has been about. And my other delegates from my division have told me when they go back, they're going to promote me to divisional chicken secretary.
Okay, well, I don't have anything to say anyway because we didn't find anybody home. Hardly anyone. I'm Vivian White from Houston Temple Corps down in Texas, and my partner is Olive Brungard from Akron, Ohio, and she got very ill on the bus going out, so we really were kind of stymied by that, but then we didn't have anyone to talk with because there were 11 houses that no one was home. Five were not interested, and we had one vacant house and one church. And we found one lady who was a Christian, and her hands were all dirty. She and her husband were tearing apart their dryer, and she told us that her daughter was a Salvationist in Lawton, Oklahoma. but we did find one young mother who was Catholic, and her husband had been raised Seventh-day Adventist, and he had turned away from all church. He had turned away from God. He didn't believe in anything anymore. But he wouldn't let her go to her church, and the only time that she could go was when he was out of town. And she was very worried about her two children who had not been baptized. And she was the only one that we got to talk with at all, and we didn't get to share the four laws with anyone but a little man who was mentally retarded. And so I came back feeling rather defeated, but I've had an experience, and I've had a beginning, and I hope that I can follow through on this when I get home.
My name's Eva Link, and I'm a member of the Colorado Springs Corps. The Lord has prompted me tonight to thank two ladies. I don't know who you are. I happen to drive a school bus in the south part of Colorado Springs. This afternoon, as I was taking my elementary load home, we turned the corner. I saw two Salvationists on Hartford Street, whoever you were, looking a little befuddled, but because of the uniform, I waved. The children on my bus said, "Oh, who are they?" So I thank you for being there. I thank the Lord for the opportunity of witnessing to all these children. This evening has really, the Lord has laid on my heart what an opportunity I have with 66 children every day. That's our future. And I praise His name, and I trust that I will be a faithful servant in witnessing to them.
My name is Mark Hartz from Maplewood Corps, St. Louis, Missouri. My partner is Hart Fultz from St. Louis, Missouri also. I was very willing today, but I was very, very scared to do this. It was very hard for me to do it, so I let Art go first. He was able to... He was able to share the spiritual laws and pray with two people. I was able to share the spiritual laws with one young woman named Diane. She had one little girl, and she had another one on the way. And she accepted Christ as her Savior. So I just praise the Lord.
Whatever. Can I have those things?
Listen, our time is gone. But I know. I want to give Vi, you know, we all know about Vi. But Vi hasn't had an experience of doing this before, and today she had a good experience. I'm going to let her, if she can, to make it abbreviated and come and share it with us, if you would, Vi. All right, she wants to wait. Okay. Okay, come on. How about you?
I want you all to look at this man. This man is led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday, me and the wife, we walked into his office and we told him we really had a desire to go to open air. We really had a desire to go to the open air because it's something we feel that's needed in our area in Kankakee, Illinois. He told us, he says, you're scheduled to go door to door. It wasn't really what I wanted to do, but I told him, I says, well, that's quite okay. So me and the wife, we went on open air. We got about halfway there today, and he looked around, and he saw me, he says, hey, what you doing here? I told him, I says, well, you told us this is where we're supposed to be. You know, God had a hand in that. And I told him, I says, you know, God knows what's best. So we go ahead down, we go out, and with me and my partner, I know the seed was planted in three places, and one said the prayer. And, you know, I just praise God. Regardless of what I ask, He did what